You know, I was looking at the immigration data this morning, just staring at the spreadsheets you send over.
Yeah.
And it feels like for the last, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 years, the advice for moving to Canada was basically one sentence.
Right, the standard model.
Exactly. It was always get your degree, learn decent English, and move to Toronto or Vancouver.
And it worked for a generation. It really did.
It did. But after parsing through this week's numbers, and we are talking about a historic federal draw, some really specific provincial mandates, and an economic report out of the West that just looks like it belongs to a different country. That advice feels is obsolete, too harsh a word.
Obsolete might actually be the polite word. I think misleading is probably more accurate if you're banking your entire future on it. We are seeing a fragmentation. It's not one big open door anymore.
It's more like a series of smaller doors.
Very specific, very narrow hallways, yeah.
So, welcome to the deep dive. We are looking at a week that, honestly, it feels like a pivot point. We've got a federal draw that just reset the board, a rural pilot program in Ontario that is suddenly headhunting, of all people, software engineers, and yeah, that Alberta report.
It really is a tale of four different Canadas right now. And the data we have, specifically on Express Entry Draw 394, the North Bay Priority List, the Ontario allocation numbers, and the Alberta job market, it tells a very specific story.
And that's our mission today. We need to connect these dots to figure out if that old general path is clogged, where are the new doors opening? Because looking at this, the doors are opening.
But only if you have the right key, and the keys are getting very, very specific.
So let's start with the big one. The federal government dropped what looks like a bomb on February 6th. Express Entry Draw number 394.
It wasn't just a draw, it was a statement. 8,500 invitations to apply.
Okay, just to ground everyone, because we see these numbers float by,
Yeah.
is 8,500 a lot? I mean, in a country of 40 million, it sounds small.
Oh, it's enormous. In this context, it's huge. For comparison, a typical general draw where everyone competes against everyone might invite, what, 1,000, maybe 3,000 candidates at a time?
Right.
Dropping 8,500 in a single category-based round is the government effectively shouting through a megaphone that their priority has shifted.
And that priority is Francophones.
Exclusively. This was a category-based selection for French language proficiency.
Now, I want to look at the mechanics here because there's a number that jumped out at me, and that is the
Yeah.
CRS score. The cutoff was 400. For the listener who hasn't checked their profile in a while, is a 400 like getting a C or an A plus dry?
It's, let's call it very accessible.
Okay.
In the general stream or even the Canadian experience class draws, we're routinely seeing cutoff scores in the high 400s, even into the 500s. And to get a score over 500, you usually need a master's, perfect language scores, you need to be under 30.
And Canadian work experience, usually.
And Canadian work experience, it's a very high bar, a 400. You can hit that with a bachelor's degree and strong language skills, even without that Canadian experience.
So we have a situation where a candidate with a perfect profile, let's say a marketing director from New York, is sitting in the general pool with a score of 480 and hearing crickets.
Total silence. Meanwhile, someone with a good profile who speaks French is getting the red carpet rolled out.
That's exactly the dynamic.
But there is a detail in the fine print of this draw that I think matters even more than the score. Did you catch the tie-breaking date?
I did, and I wanted to ask you about that. It was listed as February 3rd, 2026.
Which is just 3 days before the draw took place.
Explain why that matters. Usually, when I see these dates, they're months in the past.
Right. Usually, the government says we're inviting people who applied before X date, and that date is 6 months ago. That means there's a backlog, they're catching up. But when the tie-breaking date is 3 days ago, it means they've effectively cleared the deck.
So there's no line.
Virtually no line. If you were eligible, spoke French to the required level, and had a pulse and a score of 400, you got invited. They wiped the inventory clean.
That is wild.
Yeah.
So zero backlog for Francophones. But what does that say about the other pools?
Well, look at the year so far. We're in mid-February 2026. We've seen about 24,000 total invitations issued. 14,000 went to the Canadian experience class people already working here.
Okay.
8,500 went to this single French draw.
That leaves, what, less than 2,000?
About 1,200 for provincial nominees.
Right.
That's it. So if you're a general candidate with no Canadian experience and no French, you are fighting over scraps. You're in a lane that is right now at a complete standstill.
It really reinforces that language isn't just a bonus points category anymore. It's becoming the primary filter.
It is the primary filter for federal selection right now.
Okay, but let's pivot because not everyone can learn French to a high level overnight. That takes years. What about the people who work in code? not conjugation.
Right.
We saw an update from the North Bay Rural Community Immigration Pilot, or RCIP. Now, be honest, when I say rural pilot, what pops into your head?
Typically, agriculture, meat processing, maybe forestry or mining. You know, you think of labor-intensive industries.
I definitely picture forestry. But I'm looking at their 2026 priority occupation list, and I feel like I'm reading a job board for a startup in Waterloo.
It's a fascinating shift, isn't it? For 2026, North Bay has explicitly added a technology sector to their priority list.
Which feels like a contradiction in terms. Rural tech.
It used to be. But they are specifically hunting for software developers, civil engineers, electrical engineers, and network technicians.
Why? Why would a dev team set up shop in North Bay?
I think we're seeing the long-term effects of the remote work revolution finally settling into policy. Companies are realizing they can't pay downtown Toronto salaries just so their staff can pay downtown Toronto rents.
Right. The math doesn't work.
It doesn't. If you move that team to North Bay or just let them live there, the cost of living collapses, but the output stays the same.
So North Bay is trying to position itself as a satellite hub.
Exactly. A lifestyle hub. But for you, as the applicant, this is huge because of how North Bay handles the intake. They just did a system reset.
I saw that term in the notes. System reset. What does that even mean in a bureaucracy? Usually things just pile up forever.
It's rare, and it's actually very applicant-friendly. Basically, North Bay deleted all the unsuccessful submissions from 2025.
That sounds kind of harsh. Thanks for applying, delete.
It sounds harsh, but think about the alternative. In the federal system, your application can sit in a zombie state for a year, buried under thousands of newer files with higher scores. You never get a yes, never get a no.
You're just a ghost in the machine, the waiting room problem.
Exactly. North Bay said, no, if you didn't get picked last year, we're clearing the queue. So if you apply now in 2026, you aren't stuck behind a guy who applied in 2023. You're entering a clean room.
That's a huge psychological difference. You know you're being seen.
Precisely. And they have 10 scheduled intake periods. It creates a much faster feedback loop. So if you are a Python developer and you're sick of waiting for a draw in Toronto where the points cutoff is 5:30, you need to look at this map.
It's funny, we have this obsession with the big three cities. But if you want to actually get in, the side doors, like North Bay, are wide open.
And the competition is so much lower. You aren't competing with the entire world. You're competing with the people who are smart enough to find North Bay on a map.
Okay, but let's say you're stubborn. You want Ontario, but you don't want to go rural. You want the main show. We got the numbers for the OINP, the Ontario Immigrant Nominee Program, for 2026.
And the headline here is simply volume. Ontario received an allocation of 14,119 nominations for this year.
Is that a big jump?
It's a 31% increase over 2025.
31%.
Yeah, which was around 10,750. In government terms, getting a 31% budget increase, even if the budget is people, is massive.
Rather jump.
It's a vote of confidence, but it's also a devolution of power. The feds control the total number, but they're increasingly letting the provinces decide who those immigrants are. By giving Ontario 14,000 slots, they're admitting that Ontario knows better than Ottawa what Ontario's economy needs.
For the listener who is new to this, let's do a quick explain, like I'm five, on why they should care about a provincial nomination. It's not just a nice certificate, right?
No, it is the most powerful piece of paper you can get. We talked about CRS scores earlier, how a 400 is accessible and a 500 is hard.
Right.
A provincial nomination gives you 600 points.
600. So if you have a pulse, you're in.
Game over. If you're sitting at a 300, which is a very low score, and you get a nomination, you're now a 900. You move to the absolute front of the line. You're untouchable.
So with 3,000 more of these golden tickets available this year, the odds just got better. But what is Ontario spending these tickets on?
They are heavily focused on the employer job offer streams.
Which means you need the job first.
Mostly, yes. They're looking at healthcare, trades, construction, and tech. But the shift here is that the passive application, where you just upload your resume to a portal and wait for magic to happen, that's dying.
That seems to be the theme of this whole deep dive.
It is. The active route, getting a job offer, networking, getting headhunted, is where the growth is. The province is saying, we'll help you immigrate, but only if an employer says they need you first.
It's shifting the burden of effort. You can't just be a good candidate on paper. You have to be an employed candidate in reality.
Or at least a candidate with a promise of employment.
So we've got the federal fringe lane, the rural tech lane, and the Ontario golden ticket lane. But all of these rely on one thing, a job. And you can have all the policy papers you want, but if the economy is flat, nobody is hiring.
Which brings us to the most startling data set of the week, Alberta.
We have the Alberta Job Growth 2026 report. And yeah. Honestly, I had to double check the source on this one because the gap between Alberta and the rest of Canada right now is distinct.
Distinct is putting it mildly. It's a chasm.
Break down the growth rate for us.
So recently, Alberta added over 40,000 full-time jobs. That's a good number. But when you look at the percentage growth of employment, Alberta is sitting at approximately 3.4%.
Okay, 3.4. And the national average?
About 0.6%.
Wait, say that again?
0.6%.
That is wild. Alberta is growing nearly 6 times faster than the rest of the country.
It is a complete outlier. We are seeing a multi-speed economy. While Ontario and BC are cooling down, dealing with high interest rates, housing saturation in Alberta is booming.
I can hear the listener right now rolling their eyes and saying, sure, oil prices must be up. Is this just the energy sector?
That's the old narrative. And don't get me wrong, energy is the bedrock there.
Yeah.
But if you look inside the report, the resilience is coming from diversity. We're seeing significant expansion in technology, agriculture, manufacturing, logistics.
Logistics makes sense. It's a transportation hub.
And healthcare. The earnings are above national levels and unemployment is below average. If you're an immigrant, your number one fear is, will I find work? The data is screaming that the path of least resistance right now is Calgary or Edmonton.
It's interesting. You look at online forums and everyone is complaining about the job market in Toronto. I sent 500 resumes, 0 callbacks.
And meanwhile, Alberta is posting help wanted signs. It's a different world.
So let's try to synthesize this.
Yeah.
We started by saying the standard model is dead.
Hmm.
If you are sitting down this weekend to plan your Canadian future, what does the map look like now?
It looks like a choose-your-own-adventure book, but you have to pick your character class before you start. Path one, you speak French.
Got it.
If you do, the Federal Express Entry System is your best friend right now. The door is wide open, scores are low.
Path two.
You work in tech, but you're struggling with the competition. Look at the North Bay RCIP. They've cleared the backlog. They specifically want software devs, and the line is shorter.
Path three.
You need certainty and you have a network. You target Ontario, specifically the employer job offer streams. There are 31% more nominations available, so if you can land the interview, the province has the quota to back you up.
And path four, the big one.
You just want a strong economy and a job. You ignore the prestige of the coasts and go to Alberta, where the growth is 3.4% and the jobs are diversified.
It really is about aligning your specific profile with the specific region that is desperate for it. You can't just apply to Canada anymore.
No, you have to apply to the version of Canada that fits you.
I want to leave the listener with one thought you mentioned earlier about North Bay. We spent 20 years calling Waterloo Silicon Valley North.
Right, and Toronto was the runner-up.
But with these rural pilots clearing backlogs and specifically targeting tech, are we seeing a Silicon Valleyfication of the woods?
It's a provocative question. If you are a developer sitting in Mumbai or Lagos or London right now, looking at a map, are you looking at the wrong cities? We assume innovation happens in skyscrapers, but with remote work and these agile immigration pilots, the next big tech hub might be somewhere where you can actually afford a backyard.
It's a fascinating shift. The map is changing, and staying informed is the only way to navigate it. We will keep digging into the data so you don't have to. Thanks for diving in with us.
Take care.